You're listening to the Tilehurst End Podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Hello and welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast and to a brief show just before Reading return to Championship action by facing Nottingham Forest on Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately, this show is about the goings on off the pitch, as after much speculation, it was finally confirmed on Wednesday afternoon that the EFL have handed Reading a 6-point deduction for breaching profit and sustainability rules, with a further 6 points suspended until the end of the 2022-23 season. That 6-point deduction, the original one, comes in with immediate effect. My name is Ollie Allen, and there is no better man to go through the ins and outs of this points deduction with me and discuss what it all means and what happens next is the go-to man, of course, for all things football finance and one of the hosts of the excellent Price of Football podcast. It's Kieran McGuire. How's it going, Kieran?
It's busy, Ollie. I was hoping that with an international break there'd be no football finance stories to worry about, but the EFL, in their wisdom, firstly with Derby and then with you guys, have kept me ticking over.
Yeah, in the nicest possible way. I wasn't expecting to speak to you again until next March when Reading's accounts came out for term. And we spoke back in, I think it was probably April because we were slightly delayed, but we spoke back in April and there was sort of the feeling that there wasn't going to be a points deduction. And now a couple of weeks speculation, it has now come in. What have you made of the last couple of days for Reading?
I think to a certain extent, the club had been expecting it. The owners clearly had banked on getting promoted over the course of the period since 2018 with regards to investing in talent. And the problem with football is that talent costs a lot of money. As the parachute payments evaporated and gate receipts fell, first of all, due to the seasons not being as good as perhaps fans would have liked. So gate receipts were down. Broadcasting money was flatlining. Commercial income, that wasn't great either. It meant that unless the club got the wage bill down significantly, then there were going to be issues. And the fact that the wage bill had hit over £40 million in 2019 for a club that's generating £18 million in revenue, that there was a gap. I think when we had our discussion at the time, the EFL were just concentrating on clubs staying in existence. And since we have returned to the ability to have matches with full capacity stadiums, that they've then returned to an analytical and forensic approach of individual club accounts. There are others who are not too far away from a deduction, but not necessarily crossing the limits. Reading's figures didn't look great. I think everybody was keeping their fingers crossed that the EFL's priorities would have been elsewhere.
Yeah, we've not spoken too positively over the last couple of years on Reading's figures. Let's round up just this news in stone cold fact then. Reading, as I say, have been handed a 6-point immediate deduction. That drops us down to 19th place in the Championship table on 16 points. That's 4 points above the relegation zone. So we've gone from within 4 points of the playoffs to just 4 points above the relegation zone. Again, it could be an awful lot worse if you look at what's happened to Derby. And hopefully you would think that 19th place, 4 points above the relegation zone, is a position that Reading will be able to recover from, once all the injured players get back fit and Panovic has more options to choose from on the pitch. As I say, there is also this suspended six-point deduction until the end of the 2022-23 season, which will come into place if Reading do not adhere to an agreed business plan that they've agreed with the EFL. And we'll get onto that in a bit later. Some quotes for you. Trevor Birch, the EFL chief executive, has said the EFL's profitability and sustainability rules, that's a mouthful, are in place to discourage short-term overspending, and it is appropriate that the league takes the necessary action on behalf of its membership when a transgression occurs. The league is satisfied that the sanction for the breach being imposed by way of an agreed decision is proportionate, having considered all of the relevant factors, and will continue to work closely with the club as it seeks to meet its obligations moving forward. And we also heard from Dai Yong, who we hardly ever hear from, never given a media interview since joining Reading, very, very rarely puts his name to club statements. So perhaps quite encouraging that he's put his name to this one. He has said, as the owner of your club, I am naturally dismayed and disappointed to accept the punishment issued by the EFL. And as a fan, I too am hurt by a deduction of 6 points this season. However, my determination to succeed has not diminished, but has amplified. My team and I believe this settlement is just, and we will still enable us to be competitive as a football club this season and beyond. So in the short term, our aim is to fight for every point there is to fight for this season. In the long term, we pledge to fix the issues of the past and together build a club capable of competing with the very best and challenging for honours. But we can only do that with your support. So I would like to personally thank you for your loyalty to the club. It is truly appreciated by all those who cheer on the Royals. You can pick apart that statement if you liked. There are some contradictions in there. The fact that he's dismayed and disappointed, but he feels the deduction is just. We could probably discuss the semantics of that all day. But as I say, it is reassuring to a certain extent that Dai Yong has put his name to that statement for the first time in a long, long time. The club statement also reiterated that Dai Yong remains wholeheartedly committed to the football club. He's allegedly been watching all the games on Asian TV or on Royals TV this season, and is actually in the UK at the moment. He was at Bearwood Park at training yesterday, and he will be at the Nottingham Forest game on Saturday as well, which will be his first game post COVID. As I say, he's never done a media interview, so it is good to hear from him, and hopefully sort of his words are well placed. You can construe it as a PR move if you will, but I think it is reassuring that he's put his name to that when he hasn't necessarily in the past. Right then, Kieran, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of things. First of all, as I say, we've discussed at great length sort of the poor state of Reading's finances over the last couple of years. So I would direct people to go and listen to those couple of podcasts we've done the last two seasons when Reading's accounts have gone out. We weren't going to, great depths of everything. But, for anyone, not 100% sure, or perhaps someone who's listening who's not a Reading fan is just sort of quite keen to find out about Reading's situation, in sort of brief terms, why exactly has this deduction come in?
Well, under the EFL rules, which were voted on by club owners, Reading's only allowed to lose £39 million, calculated using a different set of financial rules to the accounts themselves. So some of the costs of running the club, the infrastructure costs, were women's football, academy costs, community projects and so on, those are excluded from FFP. But even so, if we take the last 3 years, for every £100 that Reading have generated through the turnstiles, through TV money, through sponsorship and so on, they've averaged £212 being paid out in wages. So that's before you stick on the floodlights. That's before the groundsman mows the pitch and so on. So the club's been losing a lot of money. The reason why that is that in order to be competitive, you've got to recruit players, pay them decent wages. Reading's wage bill hasn't really come down significantly since they were last in the Premier League. If you take a look at the figures for 2013, the wage bill was £46.2 million. that had come down to 37.6 by 2020. So not as big a drop as you'd expect. It meant that Reading were one of the biggest wage payers in the Premier League. In terms of this negotiated settlement, the alternative to that was that you had to be formally charged and then sit before a hearing. That involves a lot of time. That involves a lot of costs, because the lawyers and the accountants, as we all know, that they're not cheap. So it's a bit like a plea bargain. Yeah, let's say that you've been nipped by the police, instead of going to a formal trial, pleading not guilty and trying to see what you get away with, you say, right, I'll take a rap, perhaps on a slightly lower charge, and you get a lower sentence. So there's two ways of looking at the agreed settlement. You could say that it's 12-point deduction, of which six have been suspended, or you could see it as a 6+6. It really depends on whether your glass is half full or glass empty. But it is simply a lack of control of costs, even though the owners are putting in more and more money. You know, the loans from the owners are well over £70 million now. They've underwritten the losses. But the EFL only allows you owners to put in so much money to count towards financial fair play.
Yeah, so the EFL have highlighted the exact figures for this. As you say, it is fairly well known that there is this £39 million upper loss threshold over the course of 3 years. Because of COVID, this period's been assessed over a four-year period. So between a four-year period of 2017 to 18, and 2020-21, it was determined the club had recorded a £57.8 million loss. So that's £18.8 million in excess of the £39 million upper loss threshold. As I say, Kieran, we've discussed at length how Reading have been over this threshold for 3 or 4 years now. Do we know why it's only now this sanction is coming in? Because as I say, they've gone past that 39 in the last couple of years, but it is just this latest four-year period that's been taken into account.
Well, what the EFL said during lockdown is that they would normally, I suspect, have charged Reading last season. But what they decided to do was to take 2019-20 and 2020-21 and add those losses together, then make some adjustments for COVID, and then say, so if you'd lost 10 million in 2020 and 30 million in 2021, we'll add those together, say that's 40, and then say that we're going to average that out as 20 million a year. So we had to get to the end of 2021 before you could actually assess clubs on their losses for 2020. So I think that's what pushed things back for 12 months. And also, to a certain extent, you know, the EFL couldn't go and check the books, because we were in lockdown, but it was far more complex in terms of doing things. So what we are now seeing is a bit of a catch up from them, and it's not an ideal situation, because we've now had Wigan Athletic relegated on the basis of a points deduction two seasons ago. We had Sheffield Wednesday deducted on a points deduction last season, and if we're honest, Derby County are going to be relegated unless there is a true miracle in terms of footballing performance on the basis of financial mismanagement this season. What the EFL are trying to do through all of this is to send the signal out to clubs, mess around with the club's futures at your peril, because there is a belief at the head of EFL, and I've met Trevor Birch. I've had conversations with Trevor Birch. He's been on our podcast. I've been out for a curry with him as well. He's actually a good guy, and he wants 92 football clubs to be in existence in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, when he and I are no longer here, and so on. And the EFL feel that the only way that they can achieve that is to come down pretty harsh on club owners if they're going to overspend.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Derby County. Obviously, Reading not the only club this week to get a points deduction. Derby's is also 12 points like Reading's, but whereas Reading's is 6 now and 6 suspended, Derby's is 9 now and 3 suspended. There's been a bit of debate on social media. It's almost a bit like my dad's bigger than your dad a bit, but why is there this difference between the amount of points now and the amount of points suspended between Derby and Reading?
Well, remember, Derby are actually they're presently on 21 points deduction for this season. They were given an automatic 12-point penalty for going into administration. They then said that they were going to contest that. There were separate charges with regards to the way that they accounted for players. And there was another separate charge for the fact that they failed to pay the wages on time. So they were up on multiple offences. Their rap sheet was pretty high. Again, the EFL didn't want to go down the route of appeals, getting QCs involved. If we take a look at what happened when Wigan went to administration, that cost the club £300,000 in legal fees, plus accounting fees on top. So, yeah, the sums involved were huge. They were trying to persuade the administrators at Derby, don't go down that route. Let's, again, negotiate a settlement. It could be worse than what we are going to give you. So again, Derby was substantially over the £39 million limit. And they did that in 3 years out of four. So effectively it's 3 points per year in which they breached the rules. The further 3 points potential deduction is if they fail to pay wages on time this season. The good news from Derby's point of view is that whoever does buy the club, it can't get any worse. You know, that there's no there will be no further charges. They will effectively start as new owners with a clean sheet, a clean bill of health. So that's why the numbers are slightly different. As you're absolutely right, Ollie, there's been a lot of willy waving on social media with this. You know, my losses are lower than your losses, and people have gone into whataboutery to the nth degree. But I think we have some clarity. The people in charge of Reading, they now know their position going forwards. The people in charge of Derby, they know their position going forwards. And these are the rules. Obey the rules and no more points deductions.
That's the most important thing, isn't it? I think I've probably been guilty myself of being drawn into a bit of competition with Derby fans. But I think that's the most important thing, that ultimately these two football clubs continue to exist, first and foremost. And obviously, you know, very close, supposedly at one point, that Derby might not have been here. Thankfully, Reading have not got close to that possibility as things stand. Let's delve a little bit deeper into this suspended 6-point deduction until the end of the 2022-23 season, and exactly what Reading have to do to avoid that coming into place. As I say, they've got this agreed business plan with the EFL that sort of includes various different conditions that we'll talk a little bit about. The first of which is this total player salary cap. So the EFL has stated that Reading can spend no more than £21.1 million on total player salary costs this season, and they have to reduce that to no more than £16 million by next season, or by the end of next season, I think. Kieran, where are Reading currently with salary costs, and how easy is it going to be to get it down to £21 million this season and then £16 million next season?
Reading's wage bill was just under £38 million in 2020. Now, since then, there have been players out of contract in the summer of 2020. There's been players out of contract in the summer of 2021. So it was heading in a southerly direction. Clearly, Reading have also just signed Andy Carroll. I appreciate it's on a short-term contract. I think the perception of most football fans is that Andy Carroll can be an asset to a football club, but he won't necessarily be cheap, or he might be taking the view that I just want to play football, and therefore perhaps he has moderated his demands as well. So this wage target and Derby County have been given one as well at £15.75 million. So Reading's is significantly higher. We'll still allow Reading to pay competitive wages. I estimate that the average wage that Reading were paying was around about £18,000 a week in 2020. I think the EFL would like to get that down by probably around about a third, at least. So what they've said to Reading is that we've got a January window coming up. If you are thinking of splashing the cash, you've got to get players out really before you get players in. And this acts as it's more stick than carrot. If you do exceed these wage limits, we will have no qualms about instigating this additional points deduction, and also we've got you on the naughty step for next season as well. So the club will know which players are out of contract at the end of 2021-22. They will be able to factor that in. They will know just how realistic the new wage target is, and that will impact, of course, upon the manager's budget for the summer coming up. And yeah, if we're honest, the rumours of Mbappe to the Majeski probably are going to have to be put back for at least another 12 months.
Devastated. I'm gutted. I think that's the key conclusion that I've taken away from this agreed decision, is that Panovic's both budget and just sort of room for movement in the transfer market is going to be very, very heavily reduced. Again, not just this wage cap, also this permitted players cap, which is, again, slightly hard to get your head around, because the EFL also have rules under the embargo where you can have a certain number of established players. That's a different thing to this permitted players thing. Permitted players, according to the document, is players who have made 3 league starts at any point in their career. So that can also include players under the age of 21, which I don't think are included in the established players rule list. Reading currently have 25 of those players, bang on 25. So they're allowed no more than 25 permitted players. Andy Carroll taking up the final of those 25 slots. Potentially might say that's possibly why Jamari Clark hasn't started a game yet, because if he had started 3 games, Andy Carroll wouldn't have been able to come in. There has been some sort of confusion around this, Kieran. Just clear up for me quickly. If there are players, for example, in Brennan's Academy, like Jamari Clark, like Mamadi Kamara, for example, that might go on to start 3 games that haven't currently, does that cause running problems, or is that absolutely fine?
No, because they're already on the payroll and they are coming from the academy, that won't be an issue. I think, again, it's more of a concern in terms of a bit of trading in the January window, that you'll have to have players going out on loan or terminate contracts or sell them to generate cash if you want to recruit. So there's nothing from a negative. There's no negative issues in terms of player development coming through the academy, because that's actually one thing that the EFL are keen to encourage.
Yeah, for sure. And it would certainly seem counterproductive if they didn't let clubs use the academy players to sort of compensate for losing senior players. And yeah, losing senior players is probably something that Reading are going to have to continue doing. As we say, they have massively decreased the wage bill over the last 2 years. As Kieran said, that 37.6 million wage salaries from 2020. Since then, you've essentially had 2 summers worth of players leaving the football club. So in 2020, that included players like Mo Barra, Vita Minone, Chris Gunter, Gareth McCleary, all signed on big Ron Gourlay wages. And also this summer, Sonny Aluko and Sam Baldock, and the 2 key departures also on Ron Gourlay wages. Not that I'm trying to pin the blame on anyone at all.
It's wrong.
that is true, because as I point out myself, the problems started and continued long before and long after Ron Gourlay. So just to get that out of the way, you can pin a certain portion of blame on the former Chelsea CEO, but certainly not all of it, considering the money Reading has spent over the last 10 years, and Gourlay was only here for sort of 2, 1.5. So, as I say, the chance of losing players in January now seems pretty high, and also certainly losing players at the end of their contract come the end of the season, and Reading have a very, very hefty list of players coming to the end of their contract at the end of this season. Most notably, of course, John Swift, who you might think this perhaps increases the chances of him leaving in January. If Reading, need to get his wages off the books, B, free up a space in the squad for someone else to sign. There's also Andy Winnemotta, Josh Laurent, Rafael Cabral, Andy Yeardom, Michael Morrison, Scott Dann, Tom Holmes. The list is endless. Felipe Araruna is a remarkable list of mismanagement from Reading over the last few years, that all of these contracts are coming to an end this summer, and now they're in this predicament where it makes it very, very difficult for them to renew them. Kieran, I suppose that is the main way that they're going to have to reduce this wage bill to get down to 21 million by the end of the season and 60 million by the end of next season. They are going to struggle to renew a lot of these contracts.
Well, they're going to struggle to renew them on the present level of wages. But I speak to agents quite a lot, and the feedback I'm getting from them is that their clients realise that they've got to moderate their expectations. That's especially the cases in Leagues 1 and 2. There's a couple of clubs in League 1 that are splashing a lot of cash, but the vast majority of them are tightening the belts, and that is now spreading to the Championship. I think the fact, as a Reading fan, you don't want this, but the fact that you've had a points deduction, Derby, Wigan, Sheffield Wednesday, that actually helps clubs in terms of their negotiations with players and agents, because they can now turn around and say the old regime at the EFL, the Sean Harvey, we should try not to spend too money, but we're not that fussed approach has gone under Rick Parry, but especially under Trevor Birch. Trevor is a very much a numbers man. If you talk to fans at clubs such as Swansea and Portsmouth and so on, where he's gone in and he's helped those clubs survive historically, they do speak highly of him. But he will apply the rules very, very strictly. So there's no wishy-washy approach. It's very much the message is now going across to clubs. You've got to control your costs. There's still the same number of football players trying to play football. So, it's not the players that play. They're not going to go and say, well, on the back of that, I'm going to become a carpenter, is it? Because even as a professional footballer in the Championship, if you're earning £10,000, £11,000 a week, as opposed to the 15, 17, 18 that Reading have been averaging in the last few seasons, it's still a very competitive wage. It's a wage which is far in excess of I think what most players could expect to receive from other professions. And I think it's just downward pressure. They can't go overseas for two reasons. First of all, we've got Brexit consequences. Other countries might turn around and say, "Well, if there's going to be a governing body endorsement scheme similar to what we now have in the UK, so we don't don't qualify." And if we think that there are problems in English football with regards to finances, it's universal across the continent of Europe as well.
Yeah, well, I think certainly. I mean, it's been the case at Reading the last few years that Reading have had to sell or let players go, but before they can buy, it certainly happened this summer, happened the previous summer, and that seems to be the way. I mean, actually, not just for Reading, but I'd imagine for most clubs now that they're going to have to let players go before they come in. And Kieran, just to round things off, I suppose. I mean, what do you think that this points deduction will help Reading sort of reset? As I say, that's obviously the EFL's aim. That their aim is to warn other clubs of not doing the same things that Reading have done, but also their aim is to keep Reading in existence. Their aim is to regulate Reading, and we've spoken extensively over the last couple of years about how unsustainable Reading spending has been. Once this point deduction comes in, which it has, and once this business plan is agreed to, and as I say, the EFL will continue to monitor Reading, certainly until at least the end of the 2022-23 season, and arguably beyond as well. Will this help Reading essentially just reset? Because the club has been, as I say, completely unsustainable for the last 5-10 years now.
I think there's certainly an opportunity for that. The fact that the owner has come out and spoken publicly for the first time might be indicative of a change of culture, and ultimately the culture of any organisation is determined by people at the top. So, as football fans, we're not interested in balance sheets. We're not even really strictly interested in sustainability, because if you take a look at the two clubs in English football which have lost the most money since the creation of the Premier League, that's Manchester City and Chelsea, and their fans don't hear them talking about sustainability or worrying about losses. Unfortunately, we all want the same thing. We all want the sugar daddy to come in and spend a fortune. But that does cause problems when either the owner either A, gets bored, as we saw with Derby, or that they physically run out of money themselves due to circumstances, as we saw with Bury. And you know, we've lost Bury. Derby aren't in a great position, but you know, it looks like there are interested parties willing to acquire the club. So I think it is an opportunity for a reset, and I think Reading fans can be positive on that. It's clearly not going to help this season, but you know, the nature of football fans is that once it comes to the summer, you will start planning. You know, and once that first match comes around in next April, it's those hopes rise again. The fact that there have been plenty of clubs that have been promoted to the Premier League on modest budgets. Huddersfield did it, Crystal Palace did it, Wigan did it, Blackpool did it, Brighton did it, you know, Brentford and so on, means that hope springs eternal.
That's exactly what I was going to use. It's certainly that hope, and that there is this constant debate between going for broke to get to the Premier League and following a sustainable model like Norwich, like Brentford have done the last couple of years. And it is worth probably ending then on this question we've had on Twitter from Simon Latson, who says there seems to be a choice between running a sustainable club and chasing promotion at all costs, i.e. gambling, to compete with teams who are receiving huge parachute payments. Is there an alternative model, or should we just know our place? Again, Kieran, I think you have to look at the examples of Norwich, Brentford the last couple of years to prove that it can be done.
Yes, the fact that we have seen 50 clubs in the Premier League since it started in 1992 means that you know, Reading have got there before. There's no reason why they can't get there again. Do parachute payments distort things in the Championship? They certainly don't help, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to stop those clubs in the Premier League going, but you know, who get relegated, going bust. And they, as far as the Premier League is concerned, those objectives are achieved. By being smarter, you can do it. Yeah, we've seen Coventry City this season, you know, competing at the top of the Championship, and they've been through some hard times as well. So that's one thing to keep your belief, keep the faith, and remember your relationship with Reading Football Club's there until the day you die.
Yeah. Yeah,
regardless of the division that they're in.
That's Steve Coppell's famous quote. I think Steve Coppell once said, the only loyalty in football is the one that exists between a supporter and his football club. And yeah, as Kieran says, that will always be there. So yeah, a bit of positivity to end this podcast on, as I say. It always seems to be quite depressing discussing Reading's finances, but hopefully, as we said, and me and Kieran are probably quite depressed after speaking about it a lot over the last couple of years. But as Kieran says, it is a chance now, this points deduction, to be a reset for Reading Football Club, and they will continue to be monitored by the EFL. Stick to this business plan, hopefully, don't get another 6 points at the end of another couple of years, but hopefully things are finally looking up. So yeah, that just about concludes this podcast on Reading's points deduction, one that I didn't think I'd be doing 6 months ago, but here we are. The points deduction is in place. Just to reiterate, it takes Reading down to 19th place in the Championship table ahead of the weekend's game against Nottingham Forest on 16 points. That's still 4 points above the relegation zone, so certainly a position you would hope Reading would be able to recover from. As for the podcast, Mark will be back with the main show after the Forest game to look back on that and also look ahead to Sheffield United and to Swansea over the next week as well. Until then, all that's left for me to say, thank you very much, Kieran, for joining me as always.
Well, thanks very much for the invite, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much, Peter. I'm sure we'll speak again probably in March when Reading's accounts for the season. Hopefully they're looking a bit brighter than the last couple of years. And of course, thank you to you at home for listening. Come on, you Ars.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.